when I started this journey, I actually started working with people who were in the deep depths of anxiety and just depression, because I was pretty much, my main goal to start this was to be someone that I didn't have when I was going through that. And when what I learned was anxiety is just a symptom. It's not the main root. And there was so much deeper layers to people that we were failing to really touch on, especially in traditional therapy, you know? And I was really looking for, I was like, there's something deeper here. Like, we need to really heal on a deep level so that we can shift the collective consciousness and we can actually start allowing people to kind of put their egos aside and really understand that there's a lot more to them than their traumas and their programmings and everything that has happened to them. And it's all down in the places that they're avoiding.
I believe that love is all around us. Love is everything and everywhere. I am love. You are love. We are all love. In our divinity, in our soul, in the truest and simplest form of our being, we are pure, unconditional love. Love is the answer to everything. Every week in this podcast, we're talking to incredible and beautiful people who will be sharing their insights and perspectives to help you find more peace, to help you come from a place of love more often, to help encourage you to be kinder to yourself and others, to help you create more happiness in your life, to help you feel more oneness with others, and to help you connect to your higher self. My name is Justin Court. Together, we will help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to be more loving, kind, peaceful, happy, empathetic, understanding, and accepting. This can only be achieved together. It starts with each and every one of us. We are one, and it's time we start acting that way. I am so, so grateful that you're here. I love you, I support you, and I'm here for you. Let's together create more love in this world. Let's do this. Today's guest is an anxiety coach and spiritual mentor who will elevate your business, relationships, and wealth through nervous system expansion and energetics. Liz Leonard will guide you deep into your darkness so you can truly heal on all levels, as she believes that your darkness is essential for your rebirth. Liz and I met at a retreat earlier this year and instantly rejected each other's teachings, as Liz heals through darkness and I focus more on the light. But after just a moment, we each got curious, kept our minds open, and realized we are the beautiful yin and yang to each other, and that true healing comes through both the light and the darkness. She will help you befriend your anxiety, understand that it's a symptom and not the root cause, and look at it in a totally different way, as a message from your body that it's feeling out of alignment. Liz works with her clients in mind, body, and soul alignment and nervous system regulation. All right, everybody. If we can welcome my new friend, Liz, to the podcast. Thank you for being here, Liz.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm really pumped to talk more about, and I honestly just kind of want to like jump right into it and talk to you just more really about the work that you're doing. Because when we were at the retreat together, we kind of shared this, like we talked about this, but when you were up speaking at the retreat, as soon as you kind of said to go into the darkness, to go into the demons, I instantly rejected that. And, you know, I felt that internal, just like, no, and kind of rejection towards it. And we talked about this too, that like whenever we, you know, luckily, gratefully, whenever I experience those things, when I feel like that, no, I'm like, okay, like, let's go deeper. Like, look in here, like, what's happening? Why are you instantly rejecting this? Why are you saying no to this? And when we can do that, it just opens the doors to everything else. Like when I say, no, what Liz is doing is not aligned with me and I cut you off, then there's nowhere for me to go and grow from there. There's no new information for me to gain. But we can be like, hey, wow, okay, why do I feel triggered right now? Why am I feeling this way? Going in and understanding like what's going on. And in doing that, I think that we really kind of realize that we're the yin and the yang to each other almost, that I love what you're doing. I love how you're going deep into the trauma, into the darkness, into the realness of people. Cause I'm understanding more and more how much that healing is needed. And I experienced that at the retreat as well too. But Liz, if you can just for a moment, just tell people what you do and what sort of work that you're doing specifically.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I specifically am a wellness and life coach, master practitioner in NLP, MER, mental emotional release, and hypnosis. And I specialize helping leaders, conscious leaders, to overcome their anxiety and their mental and emotional blocks inside of their bodies and spiritually elevate so that they can, you know, show up not only in their brand, but just in their community with authenticity and just their empowered higher self, right? And when I started this journey, it's been about 5 years. When I started this journey, I actually started working with people who were in the deep depths of anxiety and just depression, because I was pretty much, my main goal to start this was to be someone that I didn't have when I was going through that. And when what I learned was anxiety is just a symptom. It's not the main root. And there was so much deeper layers to people that we were failing to really touch on, especially in traditional therapy, you know? And I was really looking for, I was like, there's something deeper here. Like, we need to really heal on a deep level so that we can shift the collective consciousness and we can actually start allowing people to kind of put their egos aside and really understand that there's a lot more to them than their traumas and their programmings and everything that has happened to them. And it's all down in the places that they're avoiding. Yeah.
I love it. And honestly, like this is, that's why I was really so excited to have you come on the podcast, because you're shining light on another element, on like a darker element that a lot of people, including myself in that moment, want to reject. We don't want to go into the darkness, into the pain. And I realized more and more, and just looking at like your stuff on social media and talking to you more at the retreat, how truly crucial and important it is to actually go down, to understand what's happening, this pain, this trauma that we don't even realize is there most of the time. And that really is the root cause of a lot of the issues that we're having. And it's so crazy. It's like, if you don't know that it's there, but it's the root cause, it's like, wow, like, where do we go from here? But like, you're helping find those root causes. And that's what I experienced at the retreat, Liz. It was like, that experience is like helping me understand this more and more and more, where at the retreat, it brought up deep, deep trauma in me that I've literally held for my entire life that I didn't even know was there. I thought that I quote unquote figured it out. Yeah. And I thought I just came to a place of like peace and love with it. And through that, realizing that like I hadn't really, I just kind of put a blanket over it. And in the retreat, really going deep and understanding that this stuff is still in there. And I'm realizing how important, again, it is for me personally and for everyone else to bring those things up, to really live as our highest self, find more joy in life, find more peace and more happiness in our lives.
Yeah, 100%. I see that a lot too, where kind of like what you said, I thought I did the work, right? And a lot of people that come to me, they have been doing the work for years and they've been doing the meditations, they've been doing the mindset work, right? They're very aware of their patternings and they try to shift them and on a conscious level. And while that's amazing and it's all a part of the process, there's always those little layers deeper, and I call it like the puppet master, right? Like you have your unconscious and your subconscious that are pulling the strings. And until you actually go down into those deeper layers, they're going to continue to pull those strings. And you're going to find yourself in the repeated cycles of attracting the same partner, facing the same, you know, obstacles, facing the same blocks. And that's where resentment comes in for our body and our soul and our mind, where we actually start to get frustrated with ourselves because they're like, everyone's like, I've been doing all this work, but yet I'm still not getting there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like you're missing those deep layers.
Yes, because, you know, I obviously talk a lot about gratitude, a lot about just giving thanks and love. And I'm realizing more and more that those things are, of course, beautiful and great, but they can only take you so far. Like if you have these deep-rooted traumas that are really playing into your every single day, you can look around and be grateful, and that's only like half of it, because that part of you is still there. And you can be grateful for everything else, but it's like, that's always going to come back. And I've realized that, I've experienced that on myself, that like, yes, I can practice gratitude and see the gratitude and thanks in most things, but these deep-rooted things I kind of didn't know was there, they're coming up. So it's not one or the other. I love that about this, that it's both. It's not just like going down deep into the trauma and then that's it. It's not just looking at the good and the gratitude and that's it. It is the beautiful combination of them both that I really truly feel like allows us to, again, be at our higher self.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I really didn't, and I think I shared this with you at the retreat, I didn't start feeling true gratitude until I went down into my deepest, darkest parts of myself, right? Because I would sit there and I would do gratitude meditations, I would do affirmations, I would do the journaling. And I'm like, I mean, to be frank, like this is just not working, right? And I kind of lost faith in it for a little bit. And like you said, how you got a little triggered, I got a little triggered, right? Because I'm like, that stuff never helped me, right? And it wasn't that it wasn't helping me. It's just I had something that was pulling me away from actually feeling worthy of the things that I was grateful of, right? So, and it also puts a blinder on you where there are a ton of things to be grateful for, but you aren't going to actually see them until you take those blinders off. Yeah.
Mm. I love that. It's literally just like, I mentioned this at the retreat too. Like we live in a universe of end, A-N-D, of end, not or. So like, it's not like either you go towards the darkness or you go towards the light to figure it out. It's literally end, it's both. And I really feel like that is the full circle of true, true healing.
Yeah, I mean, you find the light in the darkness. That's the thing.
Exactly, so good. Yeah. All right, I want to ask, because I want to like go, I really want to go deep into this. So I took a quote, it may have been from your speech. I forget where exactly I got this from, but I think it actually was the speech at the retreat. You said, the best thing you can do for your anxiety is to begin treating it like a messenger rather than a burden. Mm. Please talk more about that.
Yeah, that's what changed my life was when, because I used to have chronic anxiety, panic attacks, like my whole life, right? I moved out at 17, lived in my car. It was chaos really from the beginning. And when I was in, I guess my teens, maybe 17, 18, my anxiety was so bad to the point where I was having chronic panic attacks in the middle of the night. And my anxiety was a burden to me. It was something about me that I hated, that I didn't look forward to, that I prepared for every second of the day. It held me back from many things. And it became my identity. And so it became a part of me. And when I hated it, I started to hate myself, you know? And yeah. So when I started to finally heal, what I came to realize is that your body speaks to you. And it speaks to you in a very unique language because it doesn't use the words that we use, it uses sensations. And when we can really create that mind-to-body connection, where when our body sends us a signal, whether it's an adrenaline rush or whether it's shutdown, right? We can actually start to interpret that. And we can start to take that energy and say, oh, this is what my body's trying to tell me, and then respond. And then you build this unshakable relationship with your mind, body, and soul, where you trust yourself. And then that's where everyone gets what they want, which is safety inside of their body, right? And once you feel safe, you have capacity for discomfort and growth, you know, embodiment, elevation is uncomfortable. So when you have capacity for it, you can trust your body to guide you through it like a compass, and you no longer hate yourself for those sensations, you're unstoppable.
I think just in anything when we can, because I experienced that too through the retreat, through that like deep trauma. When we can change anything in our mindset and our thought from us hating a part of ourselves to finding healing in that, to finding understanding, and instead of hating that version of ourselves, being friends with it, like I was dancing with a version of myself that I hated when we were at the retreat, when we were doing like some breath work. So when we can, I think just befriend it and love it and see the good in it and see the message that it's trying to give us, that in itself is so important.
Yeah, it's not trying to hurt you, you know? And like in the past, it probably has hurt you, right? And so it's really easy to believe that it is there to hurt you, but it's here to give you messages. And I always say too, like your triggers are just signs from your higher self of where you're not free, right? This is just an opportunity for you to go deeper. And that's exactly what you did, right? At that time, you were like, oh, little bit of resistance here. Let me dig deeper, right? Because now it's like you took a chain off, right? And now you feel more free. But when anxiety comes up, what anxiety really is your body saying, hey, I feel unsafe. This is out of alignment with who you are, your values. And when you listen to it, ironically, it goes away and it becomes your compass. You know, like when you start to go into something, and I think too, what really is intimidating for people with anxiety is they can't tell the difference between anxiety and intuition because they feel very similar. Yeah. So when you build that connection with your body, you begin to have discernment and know, okay, is this anxiety? Am I maybe overthinking? Am I tired today? Did I eat today? Is my body in a stressful environment? Or is this my gut trying to tell me that I'm not in alignment right now?
Can you share, I don't know how easy this may be, to share like an experience and maybe not go too in depth with the person, but an experience where you help somebody, some different things that you taught somebody who was having like deep, deep anxiety where they like couldn't leave the house or they couldn't go function or something like that?
Oh yeah. So I actually have a client who completely healed his anxiety in 4 months. And I talked about him at the retreat. He was the one that came to me and was like, I don't believe this is going to work, but I like you. So I'm going to give you a chance. And I was like, okay, I'll take that as a challenge. Cause I know that anxiety is really just your body feeling out of alignment. So I'm like, well, let's get you in alignment and it'll be gone. Right. Something that also plays a huge role in anxiety is your narrative. And this is where it comes into not having trust within yourself, not having a solid foundation. So when he came to me, he's a leader. He owns a business. He has a huge team, very successful, but he was really struggling to show up as a leader, not only in his work, but at home. He could barely grocery shop. He could barely leave the house without having a panic attack. And like, if you're trying to be this successful leader and embody this and lead a team in a business, but yet you can't even go get your own groceries, especially as a man with a family, that's tough, right? That's very debilitating. So something that we really had to understand and rewrite this narrative is that his anxiety, his rush of panic wasn't something that was trying to hurt him. We actually renamed it from anxiety to adrenaline and cortisol. So anytime that he had that rush of feeling inside of his body, he then thought, okay, adrenaline and cortisol are present. I'm feeling a little dysregulated right now. And something that I focus on with clients is nervous system regulation. So how do I bring my body back down, right? When he started to do that consistently, acknowledge it without any resentment, not trying to push it away, he created capacity for it to be there. And then he gave his body a catalyst to come back down, usually his breath. His body began to trust him. Yeah.
That's fucking, it's wild because when we were at the retreat, I was of course nervous to give the speech. Mm. And it was like the morning of it. And I was like anxious the night before. I didn't sleep great the night before. And then I was pretty anxious like that next morning. And what was helpful for me is that we did like a guided meditation. We did some yoga. Like that definitely helped calm my mind. But as I was like walking towards the area where we were about to give the speeches, I was super anxious. And I was kind of like getting frustrated at it. I was like, bro, this is what you wanted to do. Like, what are you getting so anxious for? Like, just chill out. Like it's, and I was pushing away those emotions because like, I didn't really want to experience them. Honestly, like I wanted to just be happy and feel great. I'm doing something I'm passionate about. And I just wanted to feel those positive emotions, but I'm feeling this anxiety. And then I had the clarity of being like, how about you try something different than pushing it away? Why don't you welcome it?
and then see what that feels like. And then so I chilled there. I welcomed the anxiety. I felt it and I started to change the narrative. So I was like, okay, you must be doing something pretty cool for you in your mind for you to be anxious about it, right? You're doing this thing that's stepping you out of your normal comfort zone into something you're passionate about and that you really want to do. It's pretty awesome. And so if anxiety comes with that, which it will, because again, I'm doing those things, then it's pretty good actually to have this anxiety. And just let me know. It's like, dude, like you're alive. And like, I started to feel that too. It's like, wow, it's like cool. I even get to feel this emotion and really cool that I'm doing this thing that I'm in love with. And because again, I'm doing something just new and different, it's making me feel uneasy. And it's like, I'd rather feel this way than be laying on the couch and doing whatever, or being in my like normal day. So I really started to like befriend the anxiety and start to kind of look at it. And as I did that, it did start to dissipate. Mm-hmm. It was still lingering. Like, I'm not going to lie. It still lingered, but like it definitely started to dissipate where I just felt so much more at ease about the whole situation.
Yeah. And like you said, something new, you know? So your body's just communicating to you saying, this is new. I don't really know how to navigate this just yet. So I'm going to send you a signal and I'm going to see how you deal with it. Right. And I compare anxiety to a little toddler. You know, like how little toddlers, you have children, right?
Yeah.
And they come up to you and they want your attention and maybe you're busy. And so you kind of push them off and then they get louder and they get louder and they get louder. And then all of a sudden they're throwing tantrums. And then you finally just pick them up and they're fine. It's the same exact thing. Your body and your energy, they just want your acknowledgement and your validation and some room to move through you. Right? Because we're all just energetic beings. Like, we put names to these energy surges, like anxiety, which anxiety just became like a buzzword. Anxiety is literally your stress response, right? So you going onto a stage, who doesn't get an adrenaline rush before they go on there, you know? And it was it your first time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you throw logic in there too. And it's like, okay, like you said, of course I'm feeling this way. Let me just breathe into it. And one thing too that I tell my clients as well is like, shake it out. Like, your main body's reaction to any type of adrenaline rush is to shake. So if you see animals, like if they get hurt, you see like they'll run or they'll shake. That's them releasing the adrenaline. We're very similar to animals in our stress response. So when you can actually lean into the innate ability to release this adrenaline, your body's actually, all right, well, she's working with me, not against me. Let's release it, right? Hmm. Self-mastery.
I just like love the whole idea of being in tune, like instead of rejecting how we're feeling or getting mad at it or labeling it as something, like when we say the word anxiety, like that instantly gives me like a tinge of anxiety. And like that is, it's like that term, that kind of trigger that we've now used, right? When it can just mean, hey, you have these elevated emotions, you have this nervousness, whatever it may be. Just again, like befriending these things. And that's what I love about the work that you're doing. You don't deny what's happening. You want to go deep and directly right into it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Especially when people come to me with panic. Right? Because panic is a real, real thing. And it can 100% feel like you're dying. And so when people come to me in that debilitating cycle, it helps that I understand because I've been there. But it's so important to acknowledge that and not just push it away. Right? And I think that when it comes to gratitude, like I said, when I was able to feel the real gratitude is when I went deep, right? So a lot of the times people ask me, like, how did you heal your anxiety? How did you move through the panic? And obviously nervous system regulation, but at the same time, I had to acknowledge that I am having panic, right? I couldn't look at my world and just be grateful for what I had. I had to understand that I'm feeling really, really scared and lost. And once I acknowledged that, it opened the door to being like, okay, well, let's explore it, right? And I think what's really cool about what we're talking about with gratitude is when I started healing this, I now have gratitude for my emotions. I am so grateful, like you said, to go through this amazing process to be alive and to feel. Because I was also diagnosed with dissociation disorder for years. And so I didn't feel anything. And so being able to feel it all and be grateful for it and hold space for it, whether it's anger or happiness or, and anxiety and excitement are this very similar reactions inside of the body too. So It's very common that people feel anxiety with things that they're also very excited for.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, from that experience, like, yes. Because anytime I feel like I get really, really excited, there's like an anxiousness there because you may have expectations or you're just like excited. So your energy is kind of going all over the place and moving a little bit crazy. I love how you are just like, what you're doing is the full circle, because this is something that I talk a lot about when I talk about gratitude. Like gratitude, and this is where I feel like there's misunderstanding from a lot of people, where gratitude isn't denial of the trauma or the shit that's happening in your life. It's not just saying, well, I'm going to turn a blind eye to that. Now let me find the gratitude in something else and just push this down. It's like not that at all. Gratitude can either completely transform that situation from one that's negative to one that's positive. It can absolutely have the power to completely change it and transform it. Or they can both coexist at the same time. Like you can have deep trauma in your life. You can have a past experience or something you're going through right now. Let's do that. Something you're going through right now. You can feel the heartache and the trauma and the tragedy of it and still find gratitude in that situation as well. They can, again, it's the end, not or. They can both coexist at the same time. But again, I love what you're doing because you are completing that other end of the circle again, where it's like you, when I say it's not here to deny the hardship that's happening, you complete and totally fill in that side of it where you're addressing that head on and you're helping people work through that. So then I think they can, again, like you kind of mentioned too, experience the gratitude and even a fuller version of itself.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, like what you mentioned, it's not an and. I think that's why it's so important to welcome in all different types of modalities, right? And all different types of healers and people. Like when I was in the depths of my healing journey, I had a whole army of people. Like I had my spiritual healer, I had my holistic practitioner, I had a chiropractor, I had an energy worker, and they all helped me go into deeper parts of different parts of myself, right? And my spiritual healer, my sound healer, we really focused on bringing in the, you know, enlightenment and bringing in the light, right? And then I needed to be able to go down deep into the darkness in order to do that. So it's the yin and the yang. And it's, you know, that that idea that the darker or the deeper you go, the higher you go, right? So there's a duality there.
It's like it's like the slingshot. It's like the further you pull back and back and back and back, the further you can just go in that other direction as well too.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
Liz, I love too about you, and this really resonated when you were giving your speech that, and you've mentioned it a few times here already, that you've gone through it. Like you are who you are and you're doing what you're doing right now because you've lived it and you're still going through and still working on yourself. But that's one of the most profound parts, right? Like we don't want to listen or get guidance from teachers who haven't experienced anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you, again, from what I've heard just on the speech and things like that, have really, you know, you said you were homeless at 17, you've gone through some deep trauma, you've gone through a lot of panic, a lot of anxiety. And it just makes it so much more powerful that because you've gone through these really, really difficult times and you were able to find these different modalities to heal yourself, I don't want to say, not totally healed, but you know what I mean? In the process and have done such great healing so far that it just makes you so much more reputable and like so much more sought after because it's like, wow, okay, Liz has gone through this as well too. She really can help me.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. It's definitely really profound when you can find someone that when you tell them what you're going through and they say, I understand, they actually understand, right? There's times where my clients come to me and they're going through something. And like my one client, she's experiencing motherhood for her first time pregnant and just trying to navigate all the changes there and with her body and hormones. And can I understand that? No, right? So I don't like to say I understand when I genuinely cannot. But when people come to me with anxiety and money blocks and panic and just like wanting to build this brand and quantum leap, and they just feel so stuck, I'm like, when you talk about that, I can feel it inside of my body. Like, I know what that feels like, and I know you can get through it. Like, that's the thing, right? And like you said too, it's a continuation of healing. And that's what I tell my clients all the time. It's a lifestyle change. It's, you know, you always have to be aware of how you think, how you act, how you hold yourself accountable, you know? And I think it's just an evolution of that, right? Mm-hmm. So for someone to look at, you know, I guess me as a coach or someone as a coach who has gotten through what you are trying to get through and is still going up the ladder, it creates an environment and a community, which is my main goal, to just continue elevating. And then when someone else comes down beneath you, you can help them elevate, right? So we're just creating a community of leaders. Yeah.
Liz, it's so dope that you just turned like your deep, deep pain into your beautiful purpose. It's awesome.
You have to. You have to. That's what's going to get you through, right? I mean, you either become it or you grow from it, right? And you have a choice. That is 100% a choice.
Yes, that was a beautiful way to say that. Yes. How do you look back on that past version of those past versions of yourself? Do you look back with like disgust or like shame, or do you look back with love and gratitude? Because that really did shape and form you into the work that you're doing today. But I would love to just, hear how you feel about those past versions of yourself.
Yeah, that's a really deep question. And for a while, I had shame and hate. Because for me, when I was trying to navigate myself, the thing about it is that when you have a really dark inner world where like you're trying to navigate so much trauma, your projection into the outer world and your community is never really positive, right? And so when I was younger in high school, I was very aggressive. Like I had a wall up. And if you were in my circle, you were protected because I was very protective. If you weren't in my circle, I wasn't mean, but I had no capacity for you, right? And I look back at myself and how I handled things and I'm like, would I do that now? No. And I also have a lot of, just a lot of love and grace for her when it comes to that age, because I just know what she was trying to navigate in her head and her mind and her body. And she was just doing the best that she could. And unfortunately, some people got the worst of her. And, you know, I've apologized to people in the past and said, you know, what I was going through really got projected onto you and you did not deserve that, you know? And even just like past relationships, I look back and I'm like, I think everyone has a part in what they go through, you know? And sometimes I had to really put my ego aside and understand that, like, okay, yeah, I played a part in that, you know? And being able to get to a point where you love that version of you is difficult, to say the least, just because, you know, I think shame and guilt is a very natural human reaction. It just means that you hold yourself to a higher standard and you didn't live up to it in that moment, you know? So some people have a lot of, you know, bad feelings attached to shame and guilt. But whenever my clients come to me with that, I'm like, you know, it's actually a sign that you hold yourself higher up there. So, yeah.
What a kinder and more and a gentler way to think about that. Seriously, because that just helped me so much, Liz, because that was where I was going deep. I had just like this deep guilt and shame for this version or this part of who I am. And just saying that right now, I was like, that's really what it was. I just hold myself to the standard. I want to be loving every moment, which is just insane, honestly, in itself. But, and then when I'm not, if I have these emotions, these hard or tough or high energy emotions, to understand seriously that it is. It's like, that's an emotion. Just being okay, right? You're not living to where you think or where you want to be. that just makes that shame and guilt that I felt just feel a little bit easier and a little bit like less weight on my soul and my body.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'm happy. I think too, just keep in mind, whoever's listening and is feeling that shame and guilt, because I know how heavy that can feel. Just remember that when you feel trapped in a cage, the lock is on the inside, not on the out. Right. So you are the one that's going to let yourself out of there. And I feel like a lot of times with anger and sadness, just any emotion, like we're looking for people to forgive us. We're looking for people to apologize. We're looking for very external reactions for us to feel enough or to feel satisfied or let go. But a lot of the times we have to let ourselves go first in order to, you know, call that in.
Mm. Yeah. Liz, what do you love most or are most grateful about in that past version of yourself?
She was a strong bitch. Strong. You know, like her strength is undeniable. And she had perseverance. And I think that who I am today is 100% because of her. And if I didn't have that strength then, I could have been in a totally different situation. And, you know, there was a time where I tried to take my life. And there was a time where I got into the dynamic of like drugs and just like really bad environments and communities and drinking. Like it took me a while to understand that I was an alcoholic. And looking back at those times, like being able to get out of that, that takes strength in itself. And I look at the people who come to me and they're in the depths of that. And they're like, I want to get out of there. That's all you need is just that like want that, you know, I always say you don't change until you get sick of your own shit. Like I got sick of my own shit, but it was the strength. It was the strength that I was like, there's something more, this isn't meant for me, and I'm going to do the hard work to get there. And that strength started way before I just started to heal. Yeah. So
I just like loving every version of ourselves always. And I know it's like not the easiest thing to do, but just like, I'm saying this to myself as I say it out loud right now. It's like shaming ourselves, feeling judgment, guilt towards the past versions of ourselves. Like, what the fuck does that do? It doesn't do anything good, right? That could be like, okay, that's who I used to be. That's not how I want to show up anymore. We can have that awareness and observe that, but we don't need to hate any past version of ourselves ever, 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 ever. There's it doesn't serve us. There's nothing good for us. It just brings us down. When we can look back and like, I love that you like, I think that's such an important question to ask ourselves. It's like about those past versions of myself. Like, what did I love about them? Like, what was I grateful for? And like, that does take strength. And like, that is so beautiful in itself, Liz, that like you got through those things. Anytime I ever hear of a story or somebody who went through a really, really tough time, who was maybe quote unquote a piece of shit back in the day, whatever it may be, it's like, but look who you are now. And there's no judgment for me towards that past version of that person. It's just more like love and empathy for them, because it's like, wow, like more respect for them too. It's like, holy wow, you came from a very, very different place to where you were there to where you are now. So it's like the quote unquote worst, because there's really no such thing as worse or bad or anything like that, but like the quote unquote worst that you think you may have been, to me, there's just like gratitude and greatness there, because look where you are today. If you got to that place to where you are today, it's like the deeper, the harder you fell, it's like the more strength, the more beauty, the more like just like love I have for you that you came from that super, super low place to now where, again, where you are right now.
Yeah.
So it's to change that narrative, right? Instead of being like, wow, I was an alcoholic. You know, I did other drugs. I was just like this terrible person. But now like, I don't know, just more even gratitude for how shitty you may have been before. Like the shittier you were before, the more gratitude you should have now, and like the less hate you should have on yourself because of how far that you've actually come.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to two things there. Like when I started to have empathy and love for myself in that moment, it allowed me to have more empathy and love for others.
Yes.
Right. In those moments where now when people are, you know, maybe not their best version of themselves, I am so less judgmental. If anything, I'm not. I'm very like, oh, I see you, girl. Like, I know where you're at right now, right? And it's like, sometimes that's all people need is someone to just like, instead of judging them, just being like, I'm not going to take what you're doing personally, and I'm going to hold space for you right now. That in itself can save someone's life, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all I needed. And sometimes that is what I got from people, and they're still in my life that gave me that, you know? And now they get to experience the best version of me, you know, because they stuck with me. And I'm not saying that whoever decided to leave did the wrong decision. You know, it's whatever's best for them. It's just more so when there's people who are going through their shit, they're doing the best that they can with what they have. And 99% of the time, their intention isn't to hurt you. You know, and I think that that's one of the biggest things. It's just they have, whether it's emotions, trauma, whatever it is, and they don't have the tools to move through it.
One of like the biggest things that I have started to recognize, and I don't do it every time, but I've really started to recognize over the past couple of years, it's so true. When you see that person who's like the rudest or the biggest asshole, or you look at them and say like, wow, that's just not a great version of anybody. Taking a moment, instead of judging them, instead of hating them, instead of wishing bad on them, because when you do that, that just puts you in that energy too. So it doesn't serve you either. But instead of like doing those things, I'm starting to see it as like the biggest, like they're waving the white flag. Literally of like, yo, I am dying over here. I'm in pain. I don't know what, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what to do. It's like, cause when, think about it. Anytime any of us have ever acted like an asshole, were you in a good place? Were you in a good state of being? Like, no, you just like, none of us were. So when we see somebody acting like that, it's not condoning their actions. It's not, and that's like, it's, this is such an important thing too. It's not just rolling over and being kind and loving someone who's shitty. It's like, that's not love. That's not kindness. Love and kindness are being there for someone to support them, being transparent with them, being honest with them, and just not letting yourself get taken down or beat up by them, but you can be there as a resource or just as a person to literally sit there and be in their energy and allow them to talk and release and maybe get through some things.
Yeah.
But just like knowing it's like, that person is just like, they're suffering right now. And when you were suffering, what did you want? You wanted some help. You wanted somebody to love you. You wanted somebody to be there for you, to let you know that you're not alone. So it's like, when we see those in others, if we can just recognize that in ourselves and start to act in that way, because I've been there many times. When you see someone acting like that, the first initial thought that we normally have is, it's like, this person sucks. Get away from me. I want nothing to do with you. Oh, I cannot believe you acted that way. How terrible of you. We just instantly go hard at that because it's like their negativity, I feel like, at least for my example, is like made me feel uncomfortable. Like I didn't want that on me. So then I just kind of attack them so that I don't feel that, even though in my attacking, I'm just doing the same exact thing anyway. But that's just like understanding and just being that version of somebody that you would want for you in that moment.
Yeah.
And just knowing that they're hurting and they could just use a human being to see them as they are and to just hold some space for them maybe.
Yeah, it's everyone in my family and my friend group, they ask me, they're like, why are you so forgiving? Like, why are you, you know, like, how are you able to be that way? And I just feel as though like one holding a grudge, it just puts me in that box. It's not hurting anyone except me. And two, it's like when you look at someone from a view that's not through your own ego, because I feel like whenever you start to expect someone to act in a certain way that they're not acting, that's your ego. That's your ego saying, no, you're supposed to act like this. And it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with how you would act in that situation. Right. So I always try to take a step back out of my ego and say, all right, well, let's look at all of the factors right now. Right. I'm not surprised that she's not able to show up as her best self right now. You know, and honestly, I wouldn't even expect it at this moment. And that's powerful for someone to who's going through the trenches, to just have someone to be like, you know what? I'm not expecting you to be your 110% self right now.
It's just like understanding, yeah, just having more compassion, more empathy, more understanding for people. You said it too, like just more forgiveness for people. And you said it before too. It's like in going through this and being those versions of yourself, it does for me too. It creates empathy for other people. I'm like, shit, I did that before. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, like, was I in a great place when I did that? Not really. So maybe they're not in the best place either. And it's like understanding too, when we get in these grudges, we get in this hate towards people, when we get aggravated towards somebody, we're living in that, right? Like you're aggravated at somebody else. You think you're projecting it towards them. You're just feeling aggravated. Who wants to feel aggravated, right? You think you're put, that's like the crazy thing is we think we're pushing it out on another person, but we're not at all. We're just living in it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yep.
Liz, I want to make sure I ask this question. If we have some more time after, we'll go a little bit more. But I always want to ask this question. So, you know, from the retreat and everything, just this version of Justin this version of my soul, who is Justin, feels most fulfilled and just is in love with and feels most aligned to helping shift the collective consciousness of the planet to one that's more loving, kind, peaceful, empathetic, understanding, accepting. A consciousness that is one. And it's like, I know we feel like that is like not attainable and so far away. Think about our consciousness as a planet, as a civilization 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. You would never think that we'd be who we are today at all. Like there's no way. So it's like understanding that it is so possible. It just starts with us and it starts with the belief and the knowing that of course it's possible, because if we think over and over and over again, no, this is never going to happen. And I understand it may not happen from this exact consciousness, but there's steps to move forward to get there. And just understanding, yes, because once we say, no, we can never get there, then we can. We just completely shut ourselves off. So just, yeah, sorry.
Oh, I was just agreeing that, you know, if you tell yourself you can't, you're right.
That's it. It's over. That's one of people, I'll say it, if you're like, no, we can't. I'm like, really, like you're like, no, we can now, because, or at least you can't.
Yeah.
And like, it's the consciousness of everybody. And I'm realizing more and more though, that this consciousness, like we can create it here. And like, I think I put that in a message to the group. It's like, I know in my heart and soul that it's really nothing I need to wait for. I don't need to wait for everyone else's consciousness to shift. I can create it right now in my own self with my own thoughts, my own feelings, the people I surround myself with. And like being at that retreat really reinforced that for me to be like, it already does exist. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like in certain situations, in certain pockets, in certain experiences, it already does exist. But so the idea obviously is, well, it's like I was going to say, the idea is obviously to have the whole planet in the grand scheme of things, but it's also like no attachment to that either. Like just showing up as the best version of myself in helping us move towards this direction with like no expectation if we're going to do it or not, or not being like mad that it didn't happen soon enough or when I thought or should or anything like that. But so Liz, I want to ask you the question I ask everybody. How do you feel like every single day you are helping contribute to this sort of a beautiful shift of consciousness?
I love that question. Yeah, every day. I mean, you know, when it comes to my clients and my programs, like that's the main goal, is to shift the collective consciousness and to just help one more person heal their trauma so that they can change the lives around them. And as you do that, you create ripple effects, right? But also just being involved in my community, that's actually been a really big thing for me recently. There's a lot of my community actually out here is very mental health driven. So I have a lot of opportunities to be involved, which is really nice. But just again, like trying to touch a life everywhere you go, you know, like what we were talking about, if you hold space for someone who's going through the roughest of their day, you could save their life, you know? And sometimes someone just needs a little bit of kindness to have a, you know, a different perspective in a situation. And so I'm just trying to hold myself to that standard where, you know, if someone cuts me off in traffic, I'm not immediately freaking out. If someone, you know, does something that maybe I don't agree with, okay, well, you know, maybe that's none of my business type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Just trying to show up the way that I want everyone else to show up and detaching from, if anyone takes anything from this podcast, detach from the expectation that everyone's going to follow, because they aren't. Not every single person will. And I spent years of my life trying to drag people that I love with me, and held me back. Held me back and put me in a very, very bad state. And it's sad. It's a grieving process that you have to leave some people behind. But just knowing that, like, who wants to tag along will tag along. Yeah.
I love that. It's that's something I've gone through too. You know, when I've, over the past, you know, 6-7 years, I've really understood the light and the love more, and I felt how positively and beautifully it's impacted my life. And when you feel that, you do just want to give that gift to other people. It's just like very natural. That's like a beautiful thing about humans too, that we don't really talk about enough. I feel like that it's like when we feel something great for us, we just want to share that and impact other people to feel as great. Like, that is such beauty, oneness, and connection right there in itself. And but it's really realizing that I'm not here to fix anybody. I'm not here to, because I feel like if I want to rush somebody through a process or get them to love or get them to this place sooner than maybe they're willing or ready to go, it's like I'm disrupting. And who am I to think that I know better than like their higher consciousness? Because this is like, by me trying to fix them or whatever, I'm taking away from their experience of their growth, right? And their potential enlightenment, where, again, who am I to dictate or try to show and tell them where they're supposed to go? Because I really do think you can take away from actually their grander experiences and the things that they do need to go for. And like the reason why they are in this version of themselves in this lifetime right now for the expansion of their soul. And really just being like, it's not my job. Like, I'm not here to fix you. I'm not here to, well, all I can do is be the best, show up as the best version, the most loving, highest version of myself. And not even like hope, but maybe by doing that, people will see it. They'll say, oh, whoa, look at that, like that. Justin's just like standing up a little taller. He's a little bit brighter. Like, what is that? What's going on there? And like having them come to it on their own. Like, when are we going to realize that forcing people into things doesn't work ever? It's like forcing someone into the light or forcing someone into this. Like, it doesn't ever work. We have to just be the example and allow them to get there on their own and go on their own path and journey.
And like you said too, you're not only taking away from their journey, but you're taking away from their autonomy, you know, like them being able to make a decision for themselves. It's like anyone who has to go to like rehab or anything like that. We hear it all the time. Like, if you send them to rehab, they're probably not going to get as much benefit as like maybe if they want to go, right? And just using that example, but it's all about leading and it's all about, you know, embodying. And you will inspire those who are ready, because sometimes they're not ready in their journey. Sometimes they have some more lessons that they need to learn before they get there. And that's okay too.
And it's like the power in, like, you may have dropped this little seed where you feel like it didn't take and they didn't even notice it. But 4 or 5 years later, it was that thing that Liz said that like really helped them jump up to the next level or understand a situation more. So I think just also on understanding, you may not see it in the beginning or right off the bat that you're helping somebody, but you may have planted that little seed that can really come to fruition in some time.
Oh yeah. You're always helping somebody when you're your best self. You always are, right? And like you said, even if you don't see it, you are. Because even on my worst days, right? And someone was maybe nice to me or they said hi and I kind of was like, okay, thanks. Yeah. And I like didn't really like engage because I just wasn't there mentally. I sat down in my car and some of my days I literally cry because that's all I needed, you know? So just know that like you being your best self, and also you're putting out into the universe the frequency that you want back.
Yes.
Yeah. So you'll also attract the people that are ready and that do want it by doing that.
Beautiful. Liz, before we hop out, if you can just please let everybody know where they can find you. You can just really help so many people who are dealing with panic, anxiety, all these different things. And I just like, I just want to, anyone out there who's listening, if this is you, if you have a friend or a family member or someone you know at all that could really use Liz's help and guidance, if you could just please let everybody know where they can contact you.
Yeah, thank you. Guys, I have tons of resources, tons of programs, no matter what state you're in. If you're just starting, getting to know your nervous system, or you're a leader that's really looking to elevate, I have all levels, as well as a community that's ready to hold you sacred space and actually give you the resources as well. But you can find me at wellnesswith.liz2z on Instagram. And my link in the bio will give you all of those resources, my events. I got some free resources in there as well. So send me a DM too. Feel free to reach out.
Yes. Honestly, I love that. I say that to like everybody out there when we have guests, even before they even say that, like send them DMs, reach out. Like if you have any inclination to reach out to Liz or to pass her information to someone else, do not stop. Like that's true. That's intuition. That's you. Please, please take that next step towards that.
Yes.
Liz, love you so much. You're awesome. I love your story, how far you've come, the work that you're doing in the world. It's so beautiful and special. And I'm just so grateful that we have met and we've connected and we're going to continue this friendship moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for just sharing, you know, my story and also just helping people on their journey. I appreciate you and everything you're doing.
Of course. Oh, I appreciate that so much. Everybody, love you. Reach out to Liz. Cannot wait to see you next week. I love you guys. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to help share this with the world. We put a lot of energy, effort, and time into creating this beautiful podcast with these incredible guests to help bring more awareness to the love that exists all around us. So if you can help spread some love, we'd really appreciate it. Love you.